This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Amen. Well, we've been in a series on bearing good fruit. Amen. And, it's a growth series. And God wants us growing. Do you believe that today? And He wants us growing, and we're never going to stop growing. And He wants us growing more like Him. Do you believe that? God wants us to be more like Him. And the fruit of the Spirit really is the key to, I believe, walking in the best that God has for each one of us. You believe that today? And let's look at Galatians this morning. And in Galatians 5:22, our main text, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And such there is no law." Amen. That's a lot of fruit. Amen. That's a lot of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we discovered in this series that really love is the root for all the fruit to come out of. So really, it starts with the love of God. Amen. And the love of God is downloaded in us when we receive Jesus. Do you believe that today? You can't really walk in true love. I'm talking about the God kind of love. See, I'm going to say this. The world doesn't have the God kind of love. The people that don't have Jesus in their life, they don't have that God kind of love. That's why there's a lot of mean people out here in the world. There's a lot of nasty people out here in the world, but that's not us. Amen. We're not nasty. We're not mean. We're not rude. We're not inconsiterate. I'm trying to go into my message today. It's going to be on kindness, the fruit of kindness. Amen. Amen. And so we need to be kind because, you know, I saw something fragile handle with care. Amen. We need to handle people's lives with care, amen. And so we know this, that love is the key, and love is activated. Love of God is activated in our lives by giving and forgiving, amen. And so really, love compels us to be givers, and love of God compels us to forgive people, amen. Why? Because God gave His Son Jesus to us, amen. And God willingly forgives us so that we can have a relationship with Him. Somebody say relationship, relationship. Not religion. Not religion. Amen. So Jesus did not die for a religion. Most of the people say, well, isn't Christianity is a religion? Well, technically it's a religion, but really it's a relationship. Amen. So really, Christianity is a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so we don't have dead religion. We have living faith. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. That means that you walk with Him and you talk with Him and He tells you that you are His own. Amen. You have a living relationship with God. Yes. It's alive. Yes. Amen. And that's great because there's a lot of religious systems out here. There's systems set up to make you good with God, but you got to get God before you can get good. Amen. Amen. You got to get Jesus to get good. Amen. And then we talked about that the love of God, what springs forth from the love of God is the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to say this, you need to start getting happy. Yeah. Amen. You need to start getting joyful. Glory to God. If you're saved, notify your face. Amen. In other words, you should have a smile on your face. You should be joyful. Amen. Not so somber all the time. You should be excited like when you were a little kid and it was Christmas morning. How were you? Were you sad and despondent? No, you were excited. Why? Because you knew that you were getting something good. And we already have something good, Jesus, and that should get us excited. Amen. So really, joy comes from us being thankful. So really thankful for what Jesus has done for us. See, a lot of people, they don't have joy because they don't realize what Jesus saved us from. He saved us from judgment and hell. Hell's a bad place. And none of us are going there. Amen. We're all heaven bound. So joy comes from a revelation of what Jesus has done for us. And also, it comes from a revelation of our relationships with other people. Joy should come from your fellowship that you have with your family members and the body of Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with the body of Christ, you're not going to have a lot of joy. Because joy comes through relationship. Do you believe that today? And then we talked about peace. And peace is letting go and letting God. Somebody say, let go.
Let go.
Let God. Amen. What does that mean, Pastor? Let go, let God. That means you got to let go of your problems and give them to God. Amen. That's what prayer is all about. Giving our problems to God. Walking away in peace. Maybe coming into the prayer chamber in turmoil, you know, like weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might start off in prayer weeping. You might be crying. You might be upset about some things happening. But when you get through that prayer, you're going to come out with joy and peace. Amen. You're laying your problems down at the feet of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Somebody say, I have no worries. Amen. You have no worries because the peace of God is reigning in your lives. Amen. So peace is letting go, letting God. That means you're putting your total trust in God. Somebody say, I trust God. So you got to trust God no matter what it looks like in your life. Just trust Him. Amen. Because He is a faithful God. And He will make sure that His word will come be good in your life. You believe that today? And patience, we talked about patience last week. How many people were patient this past week? Amen? Glory to God. And you got to be patient with difficult people. Have anybody dealt with any difficult people this week? And you got to be patient with difficult people and difficult circumstances and situations. So we found out last week that trials brings forth patience in our lives. So if you're praying for patience, get ready for some trials. So you don't want to be praying for patience. Amen. So trials, what does the trial do? Well, it puts us in a place where we have to seek God. Because when you get in a problem, you need a promise from God. So what does the trial does? It puts us in a place where we learn to wait on God. And some of us aren't waiting on God long enough. And when you wait on God, you shall mount up with strength, and you shall be renewed, and you will fly like the eagles. Amen. And so patience is basically waiting on God. And I'm telling you, God always comes through. Do you believe that today? Then we're exploring kindness, the fruit of kindness. Amen. And you know, the fruit of kindness is a powerful fruit, and it doesn't only affect others, but it affects us too. Because whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. If you sow some kindness, what are you going to reap? If you're nice to people, sometimes people are nice back to you. Is that right? And I don't know about you, but I want people being nice to me. So if you're mean to people, what are you going to get back? You might get some meanness back. Amen. Don't be walking in this life with a chip on your shoulder. Don't have an attitude. Amen. Be gracious in your walk in Christ. Amen. And I like what it says in Proverbs, because I believe kindness not only benefits others, but it benefits us. Do you believe that today? And in Proverbs 11:17, the NIV says it this way: those who are kind benefit themselves. Think about that. But the cruel bring ruin on themselves. So it says here in Proverbs that the kind benefits themselves. See, when you are kind and you're being kind to others, it really makes you feel good. God downloads a feel-good feeling in your life when you treat people good, when you bless people, when you are kind to people. Amen? The fruit of kindness blesses others and blesses us. How would you define kindness? How would you define kindness? Kindness is an act of goodness, of looking out for the needs of others at one's own expense, expecting nothing in return. Amen. You don't have to expect a thank you when you're nice to somebody. You don't do it for an expectation of what somebody's going to do for you. You're kind because God is kind to you. Do you believe that today? And God reveals his kindness to us. You know, like the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen? And so God revealed his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Amen? And I love this because God's not looking to point out your mistakes. Oh man, I'm going somewhere this morning. God's not trying to point out your mistakes. God's not like saying, okay, look at all the bad that they're doing. No, God's looking for some good in your life. Amen. God's not looking for the bad in people. He's trying to bring the good in people. Do you believe that today? And I love this because this scripture says it like it is, says what I'm saying here, that God's not looking to judge us. He's looking to bring us up. In John 3:17, it says, "For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So God's not a condemning God. He's not looking to condemn us. And I love that. So God's kindness is not condemning people, but helping people. So we should walk in that same kind of kindness. In other words, we're not out here to condemn people. We're not out here to look down on people. We don't look down on the world. And you know, don't say, "Oh, look at that sinner. Look how bad they are." Well, what does sinners do? They sin. Why are you surprised? So we should not be surprised of the sinner when he sins. They lie, cheat, and steal. We were one of them. Say, "I was one of them." We lie, cheat, and steal. Don't say, "I'm doing it now." Don't be saying, "I'm still doing it." No, you're not. You're redeemed. Amen. You're not lying, cheating, and stealing. Glory to God. Amen. So we should walk in kindness towards others and not in condemnation. And look at Titus 3. This is powerful. Because, you know, a lot of times, can I get out of my chair today? Yes. A lot of times we look at ourselves as better than what we really are. Do you know the world, you know, how the world looks at themselves? They think they're much better than what they really are. Do you know the world without Jesus think they're pretty good people? Amen. They think that they're pretty good. If they're not axe murderers or rapists or bank robbers, they look at themselves. The world without Jesus thinks that they're pretty good people. But the Bible says different. We are not good without Jesus. And only Jesus makes us good. And because why? Because we have all kinds of criterias and hidden motives behind what we do. Amen. I'm talking about the world. Not Christians. Christians, we live for Christ. But the world, they have all types of hidden motives. They may do something good just to promote their name. They might give a lot of money to a charity so they can look good. Amen? We do it for Jesus. The world does it for notoriety. Is that right? And so I'm not saying all the world, but I'm saying a lot of people. And so I love this because in Titus, it talks about what we were before we became Christians. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared not by works of righteousness, which we have done, saying that we haven't done anything good to warrant God's mercy and grace. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, when he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is an awesome scripture. This scripture is saying before we met Jesus, we weren't too good. Before we met Jesus, we were really ugly people. Amen. Amen? And so, but after Jesus, we become beautiful people. Do you believe that today? I love that. And so we need to understand this, that it's by God's grace that makes us good, and it's not by us doing good works that makes us good. Amen. I love this because this scripture says here in Romans 2:4, or do you not hold the priceless kindness, forbearance, and patience in low esteem, unaware that kindness of God would lead you to repentance? This is powerful. This is saying here that the way God approaches people, he doesn't approach people like turn or burn. That's not the way God approaches getting people saved. He doesn't say, listen, either get right or get left. God doesn't approach me. No, God says it's his priceless kindness, his forbearance. What does forbearance mean? It means that he's overlooking our past sins. Forbearance means he's overlooking our ugly things that we do. He's overlooking that forbearance. It says his priceless kindness, his forbearance, and his patience. I'm going to say this, that God will heal a sinner to reveal how much he loves that sinner. Amen. Do you know that miracles are not just for the church? Amen. Do you know miracles are for the sinners? Yes. Do you know that God wants to heal sinners? Wow, why? They don't deserve to be healed. We don't deserve heaven. That's right. We don't deserve the blessings of God. That's right. But we get them by the grace of God. Yeah. We don't deserve it. No. It was like that one lady that the couple went to heaven together. And the husband's going before Jesus Christ. And the wife was pretty shrewd. She was a smart lady. She would help her husband out a lot. Amen. And she said to her husband, whatever you say, don't tell the Lord I want what I deserve. Amen. Because we don't deserve anything. We get everything by the grace of God. Can I get, you don't want what you deserve on Judgment Day. Give me what I deserve. Do you know what you deserve? H-E double toothpicks. That's what we deserve. But we get his grace. Amen. That's something to get happy about. Amen. You need to get happy that you have his grace. Amen. Amen. So again, it says the kindness, the forbearance, he's overlooking our sins, and the patience, he's waiting on us to get our head straight. He's waiting on us to smarten up. He's waiting on. Did God wait on you? How long did it take you to get your act together, to get to church, to start living for God? It probably took a process. God was kind to you while you were still doing rotten things, when you were a dirty, rotten scoundrel. God was kind to you. Amen? It's like that movie, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie or not, But that's what we were. But we were that, but we're not that anymore. Amen. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm right in God. Not because of my good works, but because of the blood of Jesus. That's good news this morning. That means that you don't have to be perfect to have right standing with God. You just got to believe for right standing for God. You become and you don't do. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. And in the process of us becoming, we do the right things in God. In the process of living for God, we become nice people. Is that right today? I love that. I love that because in Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Who should we be kind to? Amen. Who should we be kind to? Pastor, be kind to the people that are just nice to you. You only just be kind to the people that enter church. When people go to other churches, just don't even say hi to them. You know, they don't go to our church. No, you're kind to those, and this is going to go to the higher. Can I go to a higher bar? Can I go to a higher level? You're not just kind to those that are kind to you. That's easy. Jesus said even the sinners do that, right? But he said we are kind to those that are unkind to us. What, Pastor? What, are you saying that I'm supposed to be nice to somebody that's not nice to me? Yes, because if they don't have Jesus, they don't have the ability to be nice. See, you're trying to put an expectation on somebody that may not know Jesus. Don't put an expectation that they're going to be nice. Don't put that expectation because sinners, naturally, they're just not nice at times. Now, sinners can be nice, but sometimes they're not nice. Amen? Sometimes as you as Christians, are you always nice? And you're a Christian. You have Jesus, and you're not always nice. Why? Because we got flesh. And flesh, you know, wants to snap back. You slap me, I slap you. That's what flesh does. But the Spirit says, you slap me, I turn the other cheek. That's only by the power of God that you can be nice. Amen? Glory to God. I love this because in Luke 6:27, reading through 36, this is powerful. We might need to read this if we're going to bone up and being nice. Amen? If you're having a problem being nice, you need to read some of these and meditate on some of these scriptures. Jesus is saying it. It's in red. He said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Wow. That is the only way you can live like that is to walk in the love of God. Amen. The only way, because God, listen, you were never meant to defend yourself. Oh, God is the defender of your life. Amen. God will defend you. The Bible says, beloved, do not take your own vengeance, but leave room for the wrath of God. Amen. Let God fight your battles. You know, God can fight your battles better than you can. Amen. You just take it to the Lord in prayer. Can I get a witness? I know this is going over like a lead balloon this morning. You guys are real excited about turning the other cheek. You guys are real excited about blessing those who curse you. Give them some money, right? You just curse me out and flip me off. Here's $5. You know? I mean, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind. What are you talking about, Jesus? How can we do that? You can only do that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can only do that by realizing that you were lost and undone without Jesus, and Jesus still saved you. Yes. Amen. That's the only way we can do that. Some of us might need to start following the golden rule. What is the golden rule? You know, you may ask. And the golden rule is in Luke 6:31. Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Another way of saying it, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now, I grew up with two other brothers. And when I grew up with two other brothers, sometimes we would fight and we would have arguments and we would, get on each other's nerves. Anybody have siblings out here? Have you ever got on each other's nerves? Did you ever try to poke at your siblings? Amen. Kind of, you know, and your siblings poke at you, try to get you upset. You know what I'm talking about? And I remember we used to do that. And if we got in arguments, my mom would make us write. She would sit us down and say, I want you to write 50 times, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we'd have to write it out. We fought less in the household. Amen. Amen. And because why? Because my mom wanted to instill the scriptures on treating people the way you want to be treated. Amen. I love that. And verse 32 says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. In Luke 34, it says here, and if you lend to those whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But then he says it this way, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. What, Pastor? Are you saying if I let somebody borrow some money, that I shouldn't be worried about getting it back? That's what Jesus is saying. If you loan people money, you know, you always get in trouble when you loan people money because you never know if they're going to ever give it back. Is that right? And money, I'm telling you, battles have been fought over money. Money has destroyed relationships. Do you believe that today? People with money has destroyed relationships, but it's not going to destroy our relationships. Why? Because our faith and trust isn't in our money, it's in God, and God's our source. Amen. And if somebody borrows some money, they never pay it back, just chalk it up as a seed sown, and God will multiply it 100-fold. Amen. Just say it's a seed sown. Glory to God. Don't worry about it. And if they give it back, praise the Lord. But if not, let it go. This might help somebody out here that might be having an issue with that. Amen? And so, that makes you think, before you let somebody have some of your money to borrow, you better think it through first. Amen. Amen. That's right. And he says here, but love your enemies, do good, lending, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Think about that. If God's kind to the unthankful and to the evil, how about us? Should we be kind to the unthankful and to those that are evil? That we need to pray for those people. Amen? You know, I think about people that do wrong things, people that murder other people. You know, they're being demonically inspired. These people are being driven by demonic spirits. There's angels and demons out here. Believe it or not, Jesus talked about it. And demons, what they do is they move on people to do evil acts. Is that right? And the demon's always on your left shoulder. The angel's always on your right. No, I'm kidding. But the demon will speak to you and try to get you, even Christians, to do wrong things. Yeah. Is that right? But you got to say no. Learn to say no to the evil things that the enemy will. In other words, you know, if somebody does you wrong, don't let the devil whisper in your ear, I don't get even. I don't get mad. I get even. In other words, we don't get back at people that do wrong to us. Amen? In other words, we're not going to be allowing the enemy to speak into our ears to speak gossip against other people. Amen? And then in Luke 6:36, Jesus says this, this way, therefore be merciful, just as my Father also is merciful. We serve a merciful Father. Amen? And then number two, he says, we need to be kind to those who may have a need, like the elderly or those who are less fortunate than us. We need to be helping people. Yeah. I love our church because a lot of times, sometimes we would have elderly people that would come in, and we would have people in our church. You know, Michael Nunes would help people in, and the elderly, and we used to have people that would come in with a cane or whatever, and we will help people come into the church. Amen. We should be looking out for the needs of others. And Abraham, you know, had a servant, and Abraham wanted to get a wife for his son. And so Abraham in Genesis 24 commissioned his servant to go look for a wife for his son, and Rebecca. And so his servant went to his relatives because Abraham didn't want to find somebody that didn't know God. In other words, if you're hooking up with somebody, make sure you hook up. If you're a Christian, hook up with another Christian. Amen. Hook up with somebody that knows God. Amen. Amen. And because why? Because you'll be in trouble if you're hooking up, if you're a Christian and trying to hook up with somebody that doesn't know God, then that relationship is going to be in trouble. Yeah. Don't do any missionary dating. Amen. Trying to get them. Well, in the process, you can get them saved, but make sure they are saved and they're running hard after God. That's free today. I didn't have that in my notes today, but that's free. And so we know this, that Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for his son. Amen. And so he prayed a prayer, and he said, you know, when he came into town to look for the wife, Rebecca, he said, let the maid come. And he had camels, offer him water for the camels. And he prayed a prayer that if she would water his camels, that she would be the lady for Abraham's son. Amen. And a beautiful lady came out, Rebecca, and she said, and he said, would you water my can I have some water? And she gave water to his camel, and she said, let me water the rest of your camels. And what was she doing? She was being nice. She saw this old man that didn't have the ability. He was an elderly guy that worked with Abraham, and she was young, and she did that. She helped, and she watered all. Think about all that work. She watered all the camels, and he knew that she was the right woman for Abraham's son. Think about that. Why? Because she was willing to put her hand to the plow. She was willing to help. She had a helpful heart. She had a benevolent spirit. Amen. And what did he do? He had gold. He had some gold on him. He put it on her. He asked her what her name was. And he ended up bringing her back as a wife for Abraham's son. Glory to God. Her kindness brought her into, because Abraham's son was wealthy, brought her a wealthy husband and a wealthy place. That's pretty good. That's what kindness can do. Amen. I love that. Kindness can bring you in to a good spot in God. Amen. I love that. Paul admonishes us to be kind to people around us, especially those that are offended with us. Amen. We need to be kind to those that you feel that might be offended or might be upset with you for some reason. Sometimes we do things and we may offend people unknowingly. Have you ever offended somebody unknowingly? Maybe said something and you didn't realize what you said caused them to be upset with what you said. And sometimes what happens is when we offend people that we have a relationship with, what happens? They get quiet. They turn. They stop talking to us. Amen. They turn. They put the hand up. Spiritually speaking, they don't actually do that, but spiritually speaking, and you realize that there's a rift. And so a lot of times when people are out of sorts with you, you need to be kind to them and try to talk to them and bring reconciliation in that relationship. And that kindness, you being kind, can do that. Now, there's a story in 1 Samuel where David, the people in 1 Samuel, David and his men, David was running from Saul, and David had about 300 or 400 men that ran with him, and he was protecting this man's orchard, Nabal, and David sent some of his people to talk to Nabal and ask if they could have some supplies because they were protecting the land from bandits and things like that. And Nabal answered very roughly and said, "Who's David? I don't need to help David, and he's running from Saul." And Nabal was really just mean. Nabal was a person that was inconsiderate. He wasn't nice. He was cruel. And so the word got back to David that Nabal just pretty much just said all kinds of nasty things about David. David said, "Get your swords. We're going to take him out." David was a warrior. And David was acting because David was offended because Nabal wasn't blessing David. And David felt like he was blessing Nabal. And Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard about that, what went on from one of the servants, and knew that trouble was coming down the pike. And so what did Abigail do? She got cakes and food and all this. And she came and met David and his men before they came into the camp. And she bowed herself to David and asked David for forgiveness and said that her husband was out of line and just forget. And here's some supplies. And David relented to what he was going to do. He was going to kill every man in that camp. And David was thankful that her kindness kept him from taking his own revenge. And so what happened here? Well, what happened later, David did not take Nabal out. And within 10 days, Nabal died. Why? Because the judgment of the Lord. You see, you don't have to take your own vengeance, beloved. You don't have to make things right. God will make things right. And what happened? Abigail was a beautiful woman. And guess what? Abigail became David's wife. Wow. One of his wives. Amen? And so what am I saying to you? I'm saying your kindness can avert bad feelings in other people's lives. Amen? Your kindness can be a blessing. You know, I think about the book of Ruth. And I love the story of Ruth. Some of you might be aware of the story, but Ruth was a lady that was a foreigner, and she married this man that was an Israelite, glory to God, and she married him, and she had a sister-in-law and a mother-in-law, and they moved from Israel to that land. And what happened was that the mother's husband and the two sons died, and so it was just her and her sister-in-law. And Ruth was totally sold out to her mother-in-law. And Ruth said to her mother-in-law, her mother-in-law said to one of the daughters that she had to go back home. They were young. They could find men. But Ruth stayed with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Ruth said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to commit my life to you, commit my life to your God. I will never leave you. I will be always with you." She must have had an awesome relationship with her mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi tried to get her to go back, but she wouldn't go back. She committed herself to Naomi. And this is powerful because Naomi went back to her town with no husband. Both her sons died, and with her daughter-in-law. Amen, Ruth. And Ruth ended up in the fields of Boaz. And Boaz was a distant relative that was a wealthy relative. And Boaz started giving favor to Ruth and gave her favor in the fields and basically gave her supernatural favor. And Ruth said to Boaz, "Why are you giving me such great favor?" And Boaz said, "Because I heard what you did for your mother-in-law. You gave everything to your mother-in-law. You backed her up. Faithfulness is the key to walking in the kindness of God." And so what happened? Boaz ended up marrying her. And I'm telling you, everything worked out for Naomi. Glory to God. You know, everybody thinks the story is all about Ruth and Boaz, but it really was about Naomi, was the original woman that lost her husband, her two sons, but she gained Ruth and Boaz, and they ended up having a child. And I'm telling you, it became, you know, Ruth became in the lineage of Jesus. Powerful. Amen. And so what am I saying to you? I'm saying to you today is when you commit yourself to God and you're faithful to God, I'm telling you, God will be kind to you. And His kindness will show through other people in your lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Showing kindness can bring blessings and open doors of grace and blessings to each one of us. And as we walk in the kindness of God, we'll have it. Kindness can lead to great blessings of salvation. I love this. When you're walking in kindness, you can actually influence people for Jesus. Do you believe that today? I was at the store and doing a delivery for Whole Foods, and there was a lady over there. There's delivery drivers in the parking lot. And I rolled down my window and started talking to one of the other drivers. Her name was Anna. And I started talking to her and asked her if she was waiting to pick up some groceries. And so we ended up talking about God. And I started talking to her about God. And she said she used to be Catholic. Now she's going to another church and she's not Catholic anymore. And she was talking like she was saved. Amen. And she's saying she's praying for her mom to get saved. She's Catholic. And I started talking to her about how Catholicism is religion, and religion won't get you to heaven, only a relationship with Jesus. And she broke out of Catholicism, amen? Out of that, anything you can make it religious. I grew up a Methodist, but I went to church as a Methodist, but I wasn't saved, amen? I was just a church attender. And so as I started talking to her, she said her mom's going to come in town and go to her church. And she's praying for her salvation. And I said, does your pastor give the salvation prayer at the end of the service? And she said, salvation prayer? And she had a question mark. I said, yeah. And I started confessing the salvation prayer. Lord Jesus, I receive it. And she started confessing it after me. Good. And I said, Lord Jesus, I believe that you went to the cross. You died on the cross for my sins. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And she repeated that prayer. After she repeated that prayer, she started crying. She got all choked up. What am I saying? I'm saying I had other things to do. But when you learn to be kind, you learn to give your time to others. And you start talking to others about the goodness of God. We can't forget in our busy schedules of life that there's people all around us that's hungry for Jesus. And we need to get a revelation that there are people waiting and ready to receive the message of Jesus Christ. Now, she might have been saved, or that might have been the first time she ever confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All I know is my Bible says if you confess Jesus as your Lord, you shall be saved. So it's not just knowing about Jesus, it's receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. And I love that because in Acts 10, Cornelius was a man that was an Italian and he was a proselyte. He followed the Jewish traditions and he became a proselyte Jew. And so even though he was an Italian, And so he followed the God of the Jews. And he, what he did was his kindness really compelled him to give to the poor. He gave to the poor. He fasted all the time. And he prayed. And he was a kind man. And the Bible said because of his kindness, God sent an angel down to talk to him and to give him directions on getting Peter to come to his house to get his house saved. Think about this. His kindness brought salvation not only to him, but to his family. Your kindness can bring the blessings of salvation into your families. Amen. And we need to understand that Jesus' last thing that he did with his disciples was that he did an illustrative sermon. And the last thing he did before he went to the cross, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he do? He washed the disciples' feet. Think about that. He washed the disciples' feet. And this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What, could you imagine Jesus washing your feet? Think about that. If Jesus walked in here today, And he just took your feet and started walking. Now, we don't do that today, amen? We're wearing socks and ladies wearing hoses, amen? Or stockings. We don't normally do that. But in that day, they walked in the dirt. They had dirty feet. That was a custom that only the lowest of the, it was the servants that would wash the feet of the people that came into the house. And Jesus treated himself as a servant to us. Ooh, think about that. Think about Jesus washing your feet. How humbling that can be. And then Jesus said, you may not know. Of course, Peter said, don't wash my feet. I won't let you do that. And Jesus said, if you don't let me do that, you have no part with me. And then, of course, Peter said, you know, he always goes over the top. Wash my hands and my head too, you know. Jesus was always over the top. I mean, Peter was always over the top. But Jesus said, only your feet need to be washed. And then Jesus said something. He said, you know, what I do to you, you do to one another likewise. Think about that. If there's going to be a place that we be kind, we're not only kind to people in the world to get them saved, but we really should be kind to one another in the church. Amen. And really, how will people know that we are Christians? They will only know that we're Christians by our love. Amen. Not by our nice cars, not by our nice houses, not by our fat bank accounts, not by our nice clothes, but the love that we have for one another. That's the reason why we have church. Why do we have church? We have to practice walking in love towards one another. Not everybody makes you feel good in church. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not everybody floats your boat in church. Not even the pastor at times. But you know what? You still got to walk in love. You still got to love me. You may not like everything I say, but love me anyway. Amen? And I may not like everything that you might do, but I'm going to love you anyway, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I love what it says in Galatians 6:10. It says, therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. What am I saying to you today? I want to encourage you to walk in kindness. I want to encourage you to wash one another's feet, not literally, figuratively, amen? Don't bring a bucket next week. Amen. Glory to God. But I want to encourage you to walk in love towards each other in the church. If maybe you don't care for that person, but act like you love them anyway. Amen. Give them a big hug anyway. Amen. And if you start acting like you love people, you're going to start loving people. See, faith is an act. You act like you love people, and then you'll eventually start to love people. You start acting the part. In other words, treat everybody like Jesus. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. I'm closing down. If you treated everybody like they were Jesus, how would you treat Jesus? You would be respectful. You be loving, you be kind. And now I'm not saying worship people, amen, because we worship Jesus. But treat people like you would treat Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? What you've done to the least of these brethren, you've done unto me. What we've done to the least of the people around us, we've done unto Jesus. In other words, we treat people good and with kindness. We're treating Jesus good and with kindness. As you love people, you love Jesus. As you love Jesus, you love people. Did you receive it this morning? Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you that your forbearance, your patience, and your kindness that leads us to repent. And perhaps you're here, maybe in the audience, maybe you're listening, watching, and you have not truly repented of your sins. You have not confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And today is the day of salvation. I want to give you that opportunity to do that today. If you're ready to do that, just say this and mean it. Say it like this. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.